Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Would you speak to us through the songs? Do you speak to us through your word? Do you speak to us through the different prayer stations? And speak to us in other ways that we may not even have expected. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to be here, to dwell amongst us, to inhabit this place, and to inhabit the praises of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we start with our first reading, and Cara's going to read part one, and Grace part two.
Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in an open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't the sight of a lamp sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents.
The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it around him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring that fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Let's stand together.
Yours is the glory forever. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God."
Let's stand again and worship the Lord.
Thank you. I will fall at your feet. rescues me from death. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into
Matthew 14, verses 12 to 36. John's disciple came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew his boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciple picked up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the winds because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down from the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out to his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all over who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed.
Let's stand again and sing to the Lord.
Thank you.
watching over me. You are a mighty river. You are a flowing stream. You are the fountain of abundance washing over me.
Please have a seat. We're just going to take a moment out of our busy lives to be still, to enjoy the silence, and to allow God to speak to us through it. Some of us feel uncomfortable with silence. We want to reach for our phones. Londoners, we don't do silence, do we? Let's give it a go.
Strong in the strength.
abiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you.
You are my hiding place.
and peace. In God my peace and joy. Only in God my soul can find its rest. Find its rest and peace. In God alone my soul can find rest and peace. In God my peace and joy. Only in God my soul can find its rest. Find its rest and peace. In God alone my soul can find rest and peace. In God my peace.
A reading from Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 8. The throne in heaven. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
Let's stand. worship the Lord.
God Almighty.
sun is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Magnificent King, surrounded by glory, the one who fills us with wonder, also says this: look, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. I'm just going to try guided meditation. I'd like to imagine you in a place that you call home, a place that feels familiar. In London, that might just be a room. A place where you let your guard down. Maybe a place of secrets. Maybe a place of shame. You hear a knock at the door. How does that make you feel? What is being interrupted? What are you doing right now? You hear another knock, and then you hear the voice of Jesus on the other side of the door, and you know that it's him. What do you think? Do you look around the room and think, oh, I haven't tidied up? Do you feel dread? Do you feel shame? Do you feel anticipation? Is your first instinct to try and be silent and hope that he'll think no one's in? What happens when you open the door? How do you feel when you see Jesus there? Is it joyful? Is it awkward? Is it a bit of both? Or do you feel something else? Jesus has come to share a meal with you. What do you do? Do you sit him down somewhere while you rush around in the kitchen trying to put something together? Or do you invite him into the kitchen? Do you invite him into your mess? Is this a meal that you prepare for him or a meal that you prepare together? How does it feel to be doing something so mundane, so domestic with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When you sit and you eat together, is there any ice that breaks? Do you feel a new familiarity? A sense that you can have a meal with Jesus as friends? How will you feel afterwards, once he's gone? Will it be relief? Will it be sadness? Have you arranged to invite him back again soon? Is there anything that you wish you'd done differently? Were you desperate to serve Jesus? Or did you let him serve you as well? What does it mean to be his friend? Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. We're going to sing O Lord, Hear My Prayer. And in the middle of it, Emma will lead us in intercession.
Oh, Father, we pray for our country. Lord, we remember the families affected by the Grenfell Tower disaster. Lord, would you come and would you bring hope in a place that has been destroyed, where the marks of tragedy and grief still affect those families. We pray for the faith communities that have rallied around the Grenfell Tower. Lord, we pray that you would bring comfort and you would bring peace. And Lord, that justice would come in this inquiry, so that our nation would be one that cares for the poor, that lives out that command to look after the last, the least and the lost, so that we would be a country that lives on the values of you and not on our own gain.
To continue our time of prayer through our prayer stations. So we have a number of prayer stations dotted around the church. There's one here, the cross in the middle. There are two at the back here. There's one in the side chapel on the altar. And if you carry on through into the vestry, there are three there. So don't forget those bits as well. And so this is a time for you to meet with God, see what he says to you, and when you hear the band playing, that will be a signal that we come back together again.
Of you, my King, giving you my dream. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as lost for the sake of knowing.
worship you. Kneeling before you now, all of my life I gladly give to you, placing my hopes and dreams in your hands. I give my heart to you, and I love you, Jesus. Yes, I Jesus, yes, I love you. I love you, Jesus, my King.
Thank you.
Coming to the end of our service, I'd really hope that you are able to engage with God with the prayer stations, and thank you so much to Cara here and Alice and Hannah and others who helped with that, and thank you to Joe and her wonderful singers and to all the readers. Today is Father's Day, and for those of you who weren't in the morning services, we actually have some gifts for the men here. You don't have to be a father. I think we're pretty happy if you don't even have to be a man, to be honest, because I still we quite like to get rid of them. They are these beautiful can coolers, a little bit like a dad. You're not always sure what they're for, but maybe they'll come in handy one day. So, and they've got this lovely verse on them: "You are my son, whom I love; with you I am well pleased." So please make sure you grab one of these. We'll pass them around. What else?
Yeah, and if you're new here this evening, we really welcome you. We're so thankful that you came to join us in worship, and we'd love to get to know you a bit better. So we've actually got some connect forms at the back that you can just fill out and hand to any one of us with a badge on, and yeah, someone will be in contact with you. And also, to get to know each other a bit better, there'll be some people going to the pub afterwards for some food. So also, once again, just ask someone with a badge on who's going, and then join in with that crew. And I'd also like to receive the offering now. So if the hospitality team could come, and they'll just pass the baskets around. And you can either give in this way, or via text, or via standing order. If you're a taxpayer, we've got the envelopes that you can just put your details on, and then we can claim that back also. So it's been a wonderful evening of worship in many forms, and this is just another way that we worship God. For he has given us our money that we just want to give some back also. So I'll just pray over this now, and as you dig into the box of gifts. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time where we've been able to be still. We've been able to just dwell in your presence and to recognize you as King of Kings. And Father, we just want to give back to you. You've blessed us so greatly. This evening's just been a time of giving back, and I pray that that attitude and behavior continues into the rest of our week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so yeah, make sure you get one of those. And yes, that will be the end of our service. But like I said, if you'd like to go to the pub, just ask one of us, and yeah, we'll direct you to the group that's going. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Spirit of abundance washing over me. You are a mighty river, you are a flowing stream, you are a fountain of abundance washing over me. Let's fix our eyes on the road to heaven. For when you call,
Oh.